Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak for Thursday, May 30th, 2019. Coming up this hour.
U.S. futures and Treasury yields rebound as traders gauge warning signs in fixed income.
As trade war concerns mount, the CEO of Morgan Stanley says financial markets are fragile.
An economist under consideration for the Fed questions the central bank's dual mandate.
Democrats are deciding what's next after Special Counsel Mueller's televised comments. Plus, yes, it was a tornado that hit Sussex County, New Jersey. I'm Michael Barr. More ahead.
I'm John Stashower on Sports. Big rally by the Dodgers to beat the Mets. Yankees a shutout win. Stanley Cup Finals. St. Louis won in overtime.
That's all straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak. On Bloomberg 1130 New York, Bloomberg 99.1 Washington, D.C., Bloomberg 1061 Boston, Bloomberg 960 San Francisco, Sirius XM 119, and around the world on BloombergRadio.com and via the Bloomberg Business app.
Good morning, I'm Karen Moscow.
I'm Nathan Hager. Bloomberg Daybreak, brought to you by Insight. BNY Mellon Pershing's must-attend event for the financial advice community, June 12th through the 14th in Phoenix. If you haven't registered, visit BNYMellonInsight.com to register today.
U.S. futures and European equities are rebounding from yesterday's levels. 5:01 on Wall Street, and we check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 9 points this morning. Dow futures up 62. NASDAQ futures up 25. The DAX in Germany is up 0.5%. CAC in Paris is as well. And the FTSE 100 up 0.33%. Nikkei 225 in Japan was down 0.3%, while the Hang Seng in Hong Kong fell 0.4%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.26%, yield on the 2-year 2.10%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.6% or 37 cents to $59.18 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% on $5.10 to $12.81.20 an ounce. The euro 1.1134 against the dollar and the yen 109.72. Nathan.
Karen, Treasury yields are steadying after rates on 10-year notes fell as low as 2.21%, and the spread between 3-month and 10-year yields hit its most inverted level since 2007. Catherine Greifeld covers fixed income for Bloomberg.
There's a lot of conflicting signals in the bond market. The yield curve is inverting, whereas traders are pricing in Federal Reserve rate cuts, and typically you would expect the two to go in opposite directions. So the two don't really stack up, but there's, you know, a lot of drivers in markets right now, and I think we're seeing traders just try to digest those different factors.
And with money market funds yielding around 2.2%, cash is growing more attractive for some. Bloomberg fixed income reporter Wes Goodman.
I think you'd have to be pretty brave to call an end to the bond rally just based on, you know, this sort of handful of metrics we're seeing. But by many measures, bonds are getting very expensive, so they may start to lose some appeal.
And as yields rebound this morning, the rate on 10-year notes is at 2.26%.
As the inversion between 3-month and 10-year yields deepens, Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman says it's a delicate time for financial markets. He spoke exclusively to Bloomberg in Beijing.
It's concerning. I mean, you know, look at what the 10 years in Germany did. I mean, it shows just how anxious the markets are. And there's more news to be anxious about than there is to be positive about.
Yields in Germany fell just shy of a record low from 2016 as U.S.-China trade tensions spark concern about the global economy. Still, Gorman sees the slide in yields and stocks as just a short-term issue, saying there's a good chance Washington and Beijing resume negotiations.
Do I think this is going to devolve into, you know, as a betting man into a full trade war? No, I don't, because there's too much self-interest in keeping this thing on the rails.
Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman says market sentiment is fragile right now, but that could all change if talks get back on track.
You can see some of that fragile sentiment in Asia with stocks mostly lower in today's session. Bloomberg's Juliet Sally joins us from Singapore with details. Good morning, Juliet.
Good morning, Nathan and Karen. South Korea's KOSPI was an outperformer, rallying on bargain hunting after concern over the trade war saw the index erase all of 2019's gains during Wednesday's session. The won also rose, posting a 0.4% gain against the greenback. Elsewhere, stocks in China, Japan, Hong Kong and Australia were lower, while Indian and Taiwanese equities showed some strength. The Shanghai Composite halted a four-day advance, closing lower by 0.33%. In Singapore, I'm Juliet Sali, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Julia, thank you. Meantime, on the trade front, Bloomberg News has learned China is putting purchases of U.S. soybeans on hold. State grain buyers have not received orders to continue with so-called goodwill buying and don't expect that to happen given the lack of agreement in trade talks.
Back here in the U.S., one economist under consideration for a seat at the Federal Reserve is questioning the value of the central bank's dual mandate. Judy Shelton tells Bloomberg she isn't convinced the goals of maximum employment, stable prices, and moderate interest rates are relevant for the Fed.
I think the Fed is going through a period of introspection. Its own inflation targeting approach is not achieving the results it thought. The models aren't working the way that central bankers would have anticipated. They're targeting inflation, missing the target. They're even defining stable prices in a way that I'm not sure everyone would agree.
Shelton, in a wide-ranging interview with Bloomberg, revealed an interest in challenging some fundamental notions of mainstream monetary policy.
I think the Fed should be open, and I think is increasingly open to new ways of working, new mechanisms, and maybe even taking a look at its own record and deciding how it could do better.
Judy Shelton has not been nominated to the Fed, but is one of a handful of names the White House is weighing for two vacancies at the central bank.
Turning to corporate news now, officials at the Justice Department are asking T-Mobile and Sprint to create a new competitor to gain approval for their tie-up. Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett has that story.
It's a condition to clearing their $26.5 billion merger. People say the two companies have been pondering additional concessions that could help win Justice Department approval for their deal. But the idea of spinning off a full-fledged national competitor would be a high bar for T-Mobile and Sprint to meet. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
Charlie, thanks. Elon Musk is pushing Tesla employees to catch up with demand for its cars. Musk has sent a second email in as many weeks to employees urging them to speed up deliveries. Shares of Tesla are down about 1% in early trading.
And shares of Axel Springer are up 20% in Frankfurt. That's after word that KKR and Axel Springer's founding family are in talks about a strategic investment in the German publisher. As part of the negotiations, KKR may launch an offer to buy out minority shareholders in Axel Springer. S&P futures higher this morning, up 11 points. Dow futures up 81. NASDAQ futures up 31. 10-year Treasury down 2/32, yield 2.26%, and the euro at 1.1134. against the dollar. Straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news, and this is Bloomberg.
All right, Karen, thank you. It is 5:07 on Wall Street, and Michael Barr has more on what's going on around the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. Some Democrats are saying that Special Counsel Robert Mueller should testify before Congress, even if he just reads his report on 2016 election interference. Yesterday, Mueller broke his silence, saying the report speaks for itself.
If we had had confidence that the president clearly did not commit a crime, we would have said so. We did not, however, make a determination as to whether the president did commit a crime.
Bloomberg's Bob Moon has more on what's next.
While Trump declared the case is closed, House Judiciary Committee Chairman Gerald Nadler vowed Democrats will keep investigating.
And nothing should be ruled out.
As Mueller's assertion that he did not exonerate Trump brought fresh calls for impeachment proceedings, speaking in San Francisco, House Speaker Nancy Pelosi said she prefers to continue the work of investigating the president and building the strongest possible case.
We want to do what is right and what gets results.
Back at the White House, meanwhile, Press Secretary Sarah Sanders insisted yet again it's over.
He's going back to his private life, and we think everybody else should too.
Bob Moon, Bloomberg Daybreak.
The National Weather Service has confirmed that it was indeed a tornado that touched down in Sussex County, New Jersey. The NWS says it was an EF1 tornado with winds between 86 to 110 miles an hour that hit between Stanhope and Hopatcong. Giant trees and power lines were downed. Dozens of rescue workers are searching the Danube River in downtown Budapest for 21 people missing after a sightseeing boat with 33 South Koreans sank after colliding with a larger cruise ship during an evening downpour. Officials today say at least 7 people are confirmed dead, and none of the tourists were wearing life jackets. Israel's parliament voted to dissolve itself and go to fresh elections September 17th after Prime Minister Benjamin Netanyahu failed to form a government by Wednesday night's deadline. Speaking through an interpreter, the prime minister lashed out at his former defense minister, saying he never intended to reach an agreement.
He wanted in the clearest way to topple the government, and he does it from considerations of getting more votes. That's what he thinks. But he's not going to succeed. He's dragging a whole country to 6 more months of election for the second time around.
Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Yeah, it is. Thank you, Michael. 5:09 on Wall Street. Time for the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update. Here's John Stashire.
Nathan, the Mets made a big offseason trade with Seattle. The Mariners were happy to give to the Mets Robinson Cano and his big contract. The big prize for the Mets was getting Edwin Diaz. He was the best reliever in baseball last season. Not last night. In L.A., Diaz gave up 4 runs without retiring a batter. Back-to-back Dodger home runs, back-to-back doubles, a walk-off sacrifice fly. The Dodgers, who trailed 8-3 in the seventh inning and 8-5 in the ninth, rallied to win 9-8. Spoiled a good outing by Noah Syndergaard, spoiled 2-2-run homers by rookie phenom Pete Alonso, and back-to-back home runs by Edwin Rosario and Don Smith that sent the Mets back under 500. Yankees won another series, took 2 of 3 from the Padres, 7-0 at the stadium. Very encouraging return to the mound for James Paxton off the injury list. He went 4 innings, did not allow a hit. The bullpen outstanding again, and 4 Yankee infielders homer. DJ LeMahieu, Gio Urshela, Gleyber Torres, Luke Voit, although Voit was after the DH yesterday. The Red Sox come to town tonight to start a 4-game series. In Boston last night, Bruins and Blues, 2-2 first period, stayed that way until overtime.
Puck comes down to Gunnarsson near side. Gunnarsson straight away to the far side. O'Reilly back to Gunnarsson, a drive. He scores! Carl Gunnarsson wins it in overtime for the St. Louis Blues. They tie the series at 1.
Westwood won the call. The Bruins' first loss in a month. They had won 8 in a row. NBA Finals begin tonight in Toronto with Golden State favored to win a 3rd straight championship. With a Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stashower. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. In other sports news, more Major League Baseball is headed overseas. The Associated Press reports the Chicago Cubs and the St. Louis Cardinals are going to play a 2-game set in London next season. Next month, the Yankees and the Red Sox battle in Major League Baseball's first games in Europe. They're going to be held at London's Olympic Stadium. Futures pointing higher this morning. S&P futures up 11 points. Dow futures up 75. NASDAQ futures up 28 points. The 10-year Treasury yield, 2.26%. The 2-year, 2.10%. Stay with us. You're listening to Bloomberg Daybreak. Coming up to 5:12 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, how to read the recessionary signals from the bond market. Are the U.S. and China headed to a prolonged trade war? We speak with Berenberg Capital Markets Chief Economist Mickey Levy on Daybreak.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and at TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are climbing with U.S. stock index futures as investors await the latest developments in the global growth outlook and trade. Treasury yields are staying near the lowest since 2017. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 10 points, Dow futures up 70, NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 2/32nds, yield 2.26%. Yield on the 2-year, 2.10%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.5% or 32 cents to $59.13 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% or $5.70 to $12.80.60 an ounce. The euro 1.1135 against the dollar and the yen at 109.73. Today we are watching for reports on first quarter gross domestic product along with a weekly report on initial jobless claims out at 8:30 Wall Street time. The Bloomberg Consumer Comfort Index out at 945. And pending home sales is out at 10. Costco and Uber, among companies scheduled to report earnings today. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Thank you very much, Karen. Democrats are trying to figure out what's next after Special Counsel Robert Mueller broke his almost 2-year silence to say he couldn't reach a conclusion on whether President Trump obstructed justice. President Trump tweeted, "The case is closed." Rescue workers continue searching the Danube River in downtown Budapest for at least 21 people missing after a sightseeing boat collided with a larger cruise ship. 7 people have been confirmed dead. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost along with the Red Sox, Orioles, A's, and Giants. The Nationals won. Tonight, the Yankees host the Red Sox for the start of a 4-game series. In the NHL Stanley Cup Final, the series is even at a game apiece after the Blues beat the Bruins in overtime 3-2. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok, on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This
is Bloomberg, Nathan.
All right, Michael, thank you. It's 519 on Wall Street. Live from the Bloomberg Interactive Broker Studios, this is Bloomberg Daybreak. And our guest this morning, Mickey Levy, chief economist at Berenberg Capital Markets with a focus on the Asia-Pacific region, which seems to be the focus of markets over the last several months, it seems. Mickey, good to talk with you this morning. We are, as many market participants are, trying to figure out what comes next in the U.S.-China trade dispute. Where do you see this going?
Well, I think the critical point is the whole issue has gone way beyond trade and focuses on intellectual property and related issues. In that regard, while I do expect this current impasse to be broken with some kind of agreement on some of the trade and tariff related issues, I think the debate and scuffle on intellectual property is going to continue. The key thing we need to keep in mind is some of these factors, like borrowing intellectual property and requiring foreign companies to turn over their intellectual property in order to do joint ventures. This is a critical factor that has lifted China from being a poor country into an economic superpower, and they're just not willing to give it up right away. So we look for some breakthrough, but not on everything, and negotiations are likely to continue into the future.
All right. So how do you read the bond markets read on what's been happening in terms of the heightened rhetoric we've seen on both sides?
Well, I think the lower bond yields are reflecting a confluence of factors, including a global economic slump, and this is related to real problems and challenges in Europe. China's not just negotiations with the U.S., but also China's potential growth is slowing, and then you have also an industrial slump in the United States with a moderate inventory overhang that has to be unwound. In addition, we can't lose sight of the fact that the Federal Reserve and other central banks are holding massive amounts of sovereign bonds and keeping interest rates really low and inflation is low around the world. So these confluence of events are pointing toward lower bond yields, and then it's all being accentuated by the concern that things might unravel in the economy. So, we've seen this before. We had an industrial slump in 2015 and 16. Late 2016, it looked like the wheels were coming off of China, and bond yields fell much lower than they are now. 10-year bond yields were down in the 1.6 to 1.7 range. Another episode was late 2018 where bond yields fell very sharply. So we've seen this before. I don't think the U.S. is going to fall into recession. I think we're once again in an industrial slump, but not a recession. And just like the other episodes, the markets will work their way out of this. And, yes, I do expect some agreement to agree between the U.S. and China that will break the current impasse, if not solve all of the critical issues they face.
Only about a minute left. You mentioned that inventory overhang that hung a lot into the read of first quarter GDP. We got the first time around. We've got the first revision coming out later this morning. You expecting any major changes to that?
We very well could see another slight downward revision, but I think the critical point about the inventory overhang is it occurred. Business built inventories too much because there was this unanticipated slump in product demand in Q1, and so what it suggests is in Q2, the quarter that we're in now, and maybe into Q3, while final sales might be okay, real GDP will be less. That is, businesses will cut production to try to whittle down some of those inventories. And so it will a weak GDP number will maybe perpetuate market concerns about weaker economic growth.
Mickey Levy, Chief Economist, Berenberg Capital Markets. Nice to talk with you this morning. And again, the revised first quarter GDP comes out at 8:30 a.m. Wall Street time. It's 5:24 on Wall Street right now. Straight ahead on Bloomberg Daybreak, we're going to hear from Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman about the risks to the financial markets, plus all the latest news in business, economics, and finance. At the moment, futures pointing to a higher open for equities on Wall Street. S&P futures up 10, Dow futures up 70 points, NASDAQ futures up 28. I'm Nathan Hager. This is Bloomberg. And for breaking news, wherever you are, Bloomberg and Twitter bring you TikTok, the first global news network designed for social media, offering live video coverage and hourly updated top news reports verified by Bloomberg at TICTOC on Twitter.
Broadcasting live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studio in New York. Bloomberg 1130 to Washington, D.C. Bloomberg 991 to Boston. Bloomberg 1061 to San Francisco. Bloomberg 960 to the country. Sirius XM Channel 119 and around the globe. The Bloomberg Business App and BloombergRadio.com. This is Bloomberg Daybreak.
It's 5:30 on Wall Street. Good morning. I'm Nathan Hager.
And I'm Karen Moscow. We are just about 4 hours away from the opening of U.S. trading. Let's get you up to date on the news you need to know at this hour. U.S. futures are rising following the lowest close for the S&P 500 since March. And treasuries are falling while yields still hover near their lowest level since 2017. Right now, the 10-year yield is at 2.26%.
Morgan Stanley CEO James Gorman expects the 10-year to be back between 2.5% to 3% by the end of the year. In an interview with Bloomberg in Beijing, Gorman said financial markets are fragile right now because of concerns over the trade war.
Clearly, the negotiators need to come to the table and figure this out. Not everything. That will take decades to get done. But we need to get the train back on the tracks.
Meanwhile, Bloomberg News has learned China is putting purchases of American soybeans on hold. China is the world's largest buyer of soybeans.
We get another reading on first quarter GDP 3 hours from now. Economists forecast growth will be revised down to 3% from initial rating of 3.2%. Also on tap, initial jobless claims, wholesale inventories, and pending home sales.
Costco is among the companies out with earnings this afternoon. We get a preview from Bloomberg's Charlie Pellett.
The analyst survey by Bloomberg see Costco reporting third quarter adjusted earnings per share of $1.82 on revenue of $34.76 billion. At Bloomberg Intelligence, analysts say the consensus calls for a slight gross margin expansion, even with investments in technology, operational improvements and keeping prices low. Charlie Pellett, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Charlie, thanks. We also get earnings today from Uber. The ride-hailing company reports after the close of U.S. trading.
The Justice Department has a new demand for approving that merger between T-Mobile and Sprint. Sources tell Bloomberg that antitrust officials want the companies to create a new competitor by laying the groundwork for a new wireless carrier with its own network. Now let's get you up to date on how stocks are faring. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures are up 10 points. Dow futures up 73. NASDAQ futures up 27. The DAX in Germany is up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.26%. The yield on the 2-year, 2.10%. NYMEX crude oil on the rise, up 0.6% or 34 cents at $59.16 a barrel. COMEX gold is down 0.4%, down $5.50 at $1,280.80 an ounce. The euro 1.1135 against the dollar and the yen at 109.70. And straight ahead, we have the latest world and national news. This is Bloomberg.
Karen, thank you. That brings us to 5:33 on Wall Street and Michael Barr with the latest on what's happening in the world. Good morning, Michael.
Good morning, Nathan. The chairman of the House Judiciary Committee says it falls to Congress to respond to what he contends are crimes, lies, and other wrongdoing by President Donald Trump. Congressman Gerald Nadler made the comment after special counsel Robert Mueller said in a televised statement that the investigation into the Russia probe did not exonerate the president.
It falls to Congress to respond to the crimes, lies, and other wrongdoing of President Trump. We will do so.
President Trump tweeted that he considers the case closed. White House Press Secretary Sarah Sanders said Russian interference should have been stopped by President Trump's predecessor.
The reason that we're in this mess in the first place is because the previous administration failed to do their job. We know there was interference. It didn't happen on our watch. It happened on theirs, and we're actually cleaning up the mess.
Sanders also says it's time for the Democrats to move on, saying any talk of impeachment would be bad for the country. The White House is said to have wanted the U.S. Navy to keep a warship name for the late Senator John McCain out of President Donald Trump's view during his trip to Japan. According to several reports, a U.S. Indo-Pacific Command official wrote in an email to Navy and Air Force officials, the USS John McCain needs to be out of sight. A storm crew has an answer as to Tuesday night's damaging storm in Sussex County, New Jersey. Bloomberg meteorologist Rob Carolyn tells us more.
Michael, the National Weather Service sent a survey team out to Sussex County, New Jersey yesterday and did discover that that storm in Stanhope did produce a tornado. It was classified as an EF1. That's a tornado with winds of about 80 to 100 miles an hour. Wasn't on the ground for too long, but it was able to produce some substantial damage. Yesterday's storms were more hail producers and heavy rain producers. But the good news is, as we get closer to the weekend, the potential for severe thunderstorm activity should diminish a bit. Michael?
Rob, thank you, sir. At least 7 people are dead and 21 are missing after a sightseeing boat carrying South Korean tourists sank after colliding with a cruise ship in Hungary. Canada's Prime Minister Justin Trudeau says that he'll raise his concern that the U.S. is backsliding on women's rights during a visit today by Vice President Mike Pence. Global News, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thanks, Michael. 5:35 on Wall Street, and John Stanshauer has the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update.
Nathan, heartbreak in Los Angeles. Everything went well for the Mets for 8 innings. Noah Syndergaard pitched well. Pete Alonso, 2 more home runs, both with a man on. He has 19 on the year now. When Edwin Rosario and Dom Smith hit back-to-back homers in the 7th inning, the Mets had an 8-3 lead. It was 8-5 in the 9th. Mets brought in Edwin Diaz. Until he blew a save last weekend, he had converted 22 in a row. Diaz really blew one last night. The Dodgers with back-to-back home runs, then back-to-back doubles, then a walk-off sack fly, 4 in the 9th to win 9-8. 5 Yankee pitchers shut out San Diego 7-0. 4 Yankee home runs, including DJ LeMahieu, leading off against the Padres rookie star Chris Paddock.
That's fun. He's a really good pitcher. He's got great numbers, but, you know, he had a couple mistakes there and took advantage of it. But we're playing really good baseball, too. And, you know, as you've seen, we have comeback after comeback, and, you know, and then we have days like today where it's just a team effort. So it's been great.
And in come the Red Sox tonight to start a 4-game series. Yanks lead Boston by 7.5 games. They lead Tampa Bay by 1. Rough scene last night in Houston. The Cubs' Albert Amora with a line drive into the stands, hitting a young girl who was rushed to the hospital. No further word on her. Amora was very shaken up. All stadiums now have protective netting through the dugout. The girl was sitting just beyond that. Stanley Cup Final, St. Louis won 3-2 in overtime at Boston. The series tied at 1. NBA Finals begin tonight. Warriors, Raptors in Toronto. Novak Djokovic and Serena Williams both play today at the French Open. With the Bloomberg NBC Sports Update, I'm John Stanshauer. Nathan?
All right, John, thank you. It's 5:37 on Wall Street, and the latest edition of Bloomberg Business Week is on newsstands now. It's the money edition. It includes a story on a startup that's looking to become Spotify for classical music. Benedict Camel wrote the story for Bloomberg Businessweek.
iDagio is a startup from Berlin. It's a music streaming company, and essentially they are classical only. So none of your Dr. Dre, none of your Phil Collins, whatever you might want in terms of sort of pop music.
Read more about this and other stories in this week's edition of Bloomberg Businessweek. Know what matters and why. Visit businessweek.com or pick up a copy of the magazine on newsstands now. And listen to Business Week with Carol Nassar and Jason Kelly weekdays at 2 p.m. Wall Street time on Bloomberg Radio. It is now 5:38 on Wall Street, time for the Tri-State Business Report. Good morning, Bloomberg's Ed Corey.
Morning, Nathan. The New Jersey State Investment Council has voted to cut its target allocation to hedge funds in half, reducing investments in these partnerships to about $2 billion. The pension fund approved the plan under pressure from labor unions. They're looking to reduce fees to investment managers. The Business Council of New York State is backing a bill that would authorize driver's licenses for people who enter the country illegally. It has support from top Democrats in the legislature, but has not yet been scheduled for a vote. It's still unpopular with some Republicans. Professional tennis could be returning to New Haven as soon as next year. Mayor Tony Harp says the Tennis Foundation of Connecticut's close to securing a lower-level event for the Connecticut Tennis Center at Yale. The Connecticut Open women's event was sold earlier this year and moved to China. That's your Bloomberg Tri-State Business Report. I'm Ed Corey. Nathan?
Ace. Thanks, Ed. It's 5:39 on Wall Street. Bloomberg Radio's on the air from San Francisco to New York, London to Hong Kong. Let's check in with our global news team for some of the top stories heard on our 300 affiliate radio stations around the world.
I'm Courtney Donahoe on WHAS in Louisville. The owner of the Greyhound bus line is putting the unit up for sale.
I'm Steve Potisk, and on KYW in Philadelphia, we're looking at quarterly results from discount chain Burlington Stores.
I'm Matt Miller on Bloomberg DAB Digital Radio in London. We're reporting on the plunge in UK car production in April due to Brexit uncertainty.
I'm Gina Cervetti, and on WBBM in Chicago, corn futures are down for a second day, pulling back from a surge that had lifted prices about 20% in less than 3 weeks.
I'm Ed Corey on WWJ in Detroit. I'm reporting a merger of Renault and Fiat Chrysler would take about a year, according to Renault's chairman.
And those are some of the stories our 2,700 Bloomberg journalists and analysts are working on this morning around the world. Another story we're following on the economic front, we get first quarter GDP, the big data point today. Also, though, readings on jobless claims and pending home sales. Busy eco day. Bloomberg's Vinny Del Giudice has a preview.
America's labor market is hanging tough. In the prior report, jobless claims moved closer to a half-century low, falling to 211,000. Housing has been a mixed bag. In March, pending home sales rose for the second time in 3 months. Last year, pending home sales posted just 2 monthly gains. Also on today's data calendar, preliminary figures on April's trade balance. Vinny Del Giudice, Bloomberg Daybreak.
All right, Vinny, thank you. Futures pointing to a higher open for equities this morning. This is Bloomberg. And it's coming up to 5:41 on Wall Street. Straight ahead, should we really be blaming the U.S.-China trade war for everything? More on that when we check in with Bloomberg Opinion straight ahead. This is Bloomberg.
Markets, headlines, and breaking news 24 hours a day at Bloomberg.com, the Bloomberg Business app, and TikTok on Twitter. This is a Bloomberg Business Flash.
And I'm Karen Moscow. European stocks are climbing with U.S. stock index futures as investors await the latest developments in the global growth outlook and trade. Treasury yields steadying near their lowest since 2017. We check the markets every 15 minutes throughout the trading day on Bloomberg. S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 74, NASDAQ futures up 31, the DAX in Germany up 0.6%. 10-year Treasury down 1/32nd, yield 2.26%, yield on the 2-year 2.10%. NYMEX crude oil up 0.7% or 41 cents at $59.22 a barrel. COMEX gold down 0.4% on $4.90 at $12.81.40 an ounce. The euro 1.1140 against the dollar and the yen 109.68. That's a Bloomberg Business Flash. Now here's Michael Barr with more on what's going on around the world. Michael.
Karen, special counsel Robert Mueller's first public comments on the Russia probe have renewed the heated back and forth over what the investigation found and didn't find. Mueller said federal rules prevented him from charging President Donald Trump with crime, but he noted that he did not exonerate the president. Louisiana's legislature has sent one of the nation's most restrictive abortion bills to Democratic Governor John Bel Edwards, who says he will sign it. It bans abortions after detection of a fetal heartbeat. In baseball, the Yankees won. The Mets lost, along with the Red Sox, Orioles, A's, and Giants. The Nationals won. Tonight, the Yankees host the Red Sox for the start of a four-game series. In the NHL Stanley Cup Final, the series is even at a game apiece after the Blues beat the Bruins in overtime 3-2. Global news, 24 hours a day, on air and at TikTok on Twitter, powered by more than 2,700 journalists and analysts in more than 120 countries. I'm Michael Barr. This is Bloomberg, Nathan.
Thank you, Michael. We are live from the Bloomberg Interactive Brokers Studios, where it's coming up to 5:49 on Wall Street. Time to check in with Bloomberg Opinion, our platform offering informed perspectives on a range of global topics and expert data-driven commentary on breaking news. Joining us from our London Bureau, as always, Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan. And we begin this morning with a comprehensive piece from former Bank of England Governor Mervyn King on how Brexit broke Britain's party political system. How did we get here, Jen?
Well, he says that the normal mechanism by which a party obtains both a public mandate and a majority of seats in the Commons is through a general election. But the problem you've got with the question of membership in the European Union is that this cut across party lines. So now with the general public having voted to exit the EU, the problem is that there's no parliamentary majority to deliver Brexit and no vision of what Brexit even means. So here we've got two main parties promised to deliver the divorce from the European Union and then conspiring to make this impossible. And here we've got a deadlock that remains.
Yeah, a deadlock that remains for potentially the next leader of the UK. So what does King say that next leader should do?
Well, the best way forward is going to be for the two main parties to develop clear opposing positions on Brexit, put the disagreement to voters at another general election. And so if either party won a majority in the Commons, it could then claim a mandate on Brexit and set about delivering it. That's the ideal situation. But the problem he sees that if you've got an election coming up, that's an open invitation for parties to fudge their positions on Brexit. Because what are they going to want to do? They want to avoid alienating voters who might support them on other ideas.
All right. Well, to a guy on this side of the pond, that almost sounds like a second referendum. That's not quite, though, what Mervyn King's talking about here.
He's not hopeful about that outcome either, because there's a couple of arguments against it. But one of them that is it's no longer possible to confine the options as in 2016 to a binary choice. You can't just ask voters in or out anymore. So that's why people calling for a second referendum tend to be quite vague on what it might ask. Furthermore, no prime minister is going to want to risk his or her premiership on the outcome of such a vote. King makes a point about the U.S. economy. It has continued to perform solidly, I mean, perhaps not spectacularly, nevertheless, since the referendum in 2016. But he makes the point that political uncertainty is almost certainly delaying investment and slowing growth. So the UK really needs to make a decision on one way or the other. But he's not hopeful because whoever becomes the next prime minister, making this decision is something that the politicians in the nation seem incapable of doing.
And talking about the U.S. economy and dimming prospects for growth there, so much of the focus, it seems, has been on the trade dispute with China. Very interesting piece from Daniel Moss this morning with the captivating headline, "Can we stop blaming the trade war for everything?" What's his point here?
He has a great opening line. He says the trade war needs to fire its PR team. And he says that some of these issues that are plaguing U.S. and Chinese economies are really only vaguely related to the tariff spat, or they reflect trends that have been underway long before President Trump had ever heard of Xi Jinping. And the latest theme in here is the prospect of a recession, which is said to be responsible for the slide in stocks and bond yields on Wednesday. Of course, yes, let's all blame the trade war for that. But Moss says handicapping a recession has long been a favorite game of market commentary. You know, for at least the last 2 years, America's expansion is 10 years old, and it's absolutely fair to say that is looking rather long in the tooth. China as well was already in a long-term slowdown. There was a crackdown on debt that's driven by domestic policy choices, not the White House.
Well, what's the Asian view?
Well, Singapore hosted its 31st Economic Roundtable this week, and Moss says that the general vibe there was that discord between Washington and Beijing is really amplifying existing phenomena or underscoring transformations already in train. You know, rarely was the trade talk seen as the sole catalyst. An interesting thing to look at here is Vietnam. So Vietnam gets a lot of buzz as the great U.S. trading partner on the horizon, and certainly exports to the U.S. have increased, but Moss says it's actually quite hard to figure out how much of that reflects simply the vibrancy of the American economy. He's pretty skeptical that many manufacturing operations have really just up sticks from China to land in Vietnam. Shutting plants and moving all of that to another country is a pretty big call, and it's really hard to see that there's a lot of merit in getting on Beijing's bad side.
A very interesting take there. Thank you, as always, Bloomberg Opinion editor Jennifer Ryan. You can read more of these and other stories from Bloomberg Opinion at Bloomberg.com/opinion. On the Bloomberg terminal, type OPIN, go. Karen.
Nathan, thank you. It is 5:53 on Wall Street. It's time for the Bloomberg Law Report. Let's get to the legal stories we're watching this morning with Steve Podisk in the Bloomberg 99.1 Washington newsroom.
The Trump administration wants the U.S. Supreme Court to decide as soon as possible whether it will hear a challenge to its decision to end the Deferred Action for Childhood Arrivals program. Pacific Gas and Electric Company's customers won't be allowed to form an official committee representing their interests in the California energy giant's bankruptcy case. And a class of United Airlines pilot instructors has been certified in a suit over how much back pay they received from the Airline Pilots Association after the union reached a contract deal with their employer.
lawyer. Bloomberg Law. Everything you need, all on one legal research platform, including guidance, analysis, and Bloomberg Market Intelligence. Find out more at BloombergLaw.com.
All right, Steve, thank you. And now another legal story we're watching this morning. The state of Oklahoma alleging that Johnson & Johnson's greed for more sales of its opioid painkillers helped create a deadly epidemic in the state. The opioid liability lawsuit is the first to go to trial after other drug makers agreed to pay millions to settle similar lawsuits in Oklahoma. For more on the case, Bloomberg's June Grasso speaks to University of Michigan law professor Eric Gordon.
Eric, Teva settled, Purdue Pharma settled. Why didn't J&J settle?
I think J&J thinks they have the strongest case, that the case against them from Oklahoma is certainly a lot weaker than, sort of the real bad guy here, or the putative bad guy, Purdue, where there's lots of very specific evidence of marketing practices that, look pretty bad. The evidence against Johnson & Johnson doesn't seem to be as extensive or as specific. And also, there's a huge difference in the amount of drugs of these opioids that J&J has sold versus Purdue. So I think overall, Johnson & Johnson thinks, perhaps of the three companies, Teva, Purdue, and Johnson & Johnson, they have the best chance of winning.
Now, Oklahoma is relying on one legal theory, public nuisance law. Tell us about that theory and the problems.
That's really interesting because, they started off with lots of theories, deceptive trade practices and fraud. And then pretty much at the last minute, they dropped all of them but public nuisances. And it's a semi-creative use of public nuisance because the classic idea about public nuisance is things like, you're emitting noxious fumes that are affecting the public as a whole. Or one of my favorites, since I live in a college town, is the house full of college students that put these huge speakers outside. And in the middle of the night, there's boom, boom, boom music, and nobody can sleep. So you get the place closed as a public nuisance. The idea that supplying these opioids constitutes a public nuisance is pretty creative. It's not a clear cause of action. It's going to be a tough one. But, it has worked, June. I mean, they used it in the big tobacco settlement, which was a huge settlement. They've used it against the gun manufacturers where it pretty much hasn't worked. So I think it's going to be a test of that approach.
And that's University of Michigan law professor Eric Gordon speaking to Bloomberg's June Grasso. You can listen to more legal analysis like this on Bloomberg Politics, Policy, Power, and Law weekdays at 12 p.m. Wall Street time here on Bloomberg Radio and find more legal news at BloombergLaw.com. Attorneys will find exceptional legal research and business development tools there as well. Visit BloombergLaw.com for more information. S&P futures up 11 points, Dow futures up 75, NASDAQ futures up 30. And the 10-year Treasury is down 1/32nd, yield 2.26%, yield on the 2-year 2.10%, and the 30-year yield is at 2.68%. And Bloomberg Daybreak continues. This is Bloomberg.